You may lose confidence in people, but I promise you, you can be confident in the Lord. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. Matter of fact, is in a world of chaos, it seems like every which way you turn, whether it's morally or socially, politically, in any direction, educationally, just economically, just chaotic. Every direction we look, and I'm going to preach on the subject, having confidence in the midst of chaos. And I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and go to Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27, very familiar text. Most of you, not all of you, know this is the chapter where the Apostle Paul is set out being headed for Rome, and he's going to encounter a host of just chaotic situations and hurtful and harmful situations. It seems like and everybody on the ship had lost all hope that they would even make it. But yet there was one man, one Christian, one man that loved the Lord, one man that the Lord stood by, spoke to, and Paul had confidence in the Lord in the midst of this chaos. And not just in this situation, but if I did this today, and I'm going to read just a couple other portions of Scripture that the Apostle Paul penned. And he was in always in the middle of persecution, and just from one situation to the next, it wasn't a pleasant, easy life that Paul was living. And yet he remained confident in the Lord. But let's look at Acts 27, verse 25. And we'll read this one verse for time's sake. You just keep your Bibles open there, and we will come back to this after I read some other scripture. But Acts 27, verse 25 says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." This is right in the midst of that Euroclydon, that massive Category 5 hurricane storm that Paul had already warned them that he perceived that there'd be much loss and much damage done. And they went ahead and didn't heed what Paul said, and there they was in the middle of absolute chaos, and fearing for their lives, not knowing. One part of this chapter says that they just let loose and let her drive. I mean, they were just being moved from one place and one to another, had no control whatsoever, which is the definition of chaos. No control. Really just left up to the storm and to the whichever direction the wind blew to get them to the next place. But without reading the whole story there, I'm going to reread that verse and then read you some other scripture that Paul used this word confident. And but he said here, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And before I read anymore, let me say to all of our hearts, there are people in our families that we love dearly. There are friends of ours that we love dearly. There are people in our community that don't know the Lord and don't know the grace of God and the person of the Lord Jesus and have a relationship with Him, that need to know and need to see and need to see something real, and that in a world of chaos, that there's somebody that believes God and that it's going to be okay. And even as the Word of God had been spoken. But just keep your Bible there and listen to these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Then it drops down in verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And then the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul, the same writer, said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He keeps reiterating, I'm going through hardship, I'm going through chaotic times, yet I've maintained my confidence, not in my situation, not in myself. If you read Romans, Paul talks all over and over about how he has no confidence in his flesh. He said, who shall deliver me from this body? He said, the things that I would, I find myself. So Paul didn't have confidence in himself. He didn't have confidence in the hardship and the tribulation and the persecution and the stripes and the almost drownings and the hungering and the nakedness and the peril. He didn't have confidence in that, but he did have confidence. And while he had confidence, others were watching him, and he's writing these words, and he's saying, because the love of Christ constraineth me, it's not just because I hit a hard time or I fail and want to just give up and quit or because I hit a hard time or hard times hit me, I'm not just going to tuck tail and quit. He said, I have confidence in the Lord that He has a plan and a purpose, and He's got all of my life from the start to the finish. He knows it all. He knows my downrising and my uprising. He knows what I'll do tomorrow. He knows what I did yesterday. And yet God has a plan for me, and I have confidence in the fact that He which begun a good work in me shall perform it. And I want to live a life in such a way that others can see that and have confidence, not in me, but in the God that is leading and the God that I have confidence in. And he goes on to say, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Your confidence can encourage others to be confident. My confidence in the Lord can help other people and help their confidence to wax more in the Lord. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And listen, verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Then listen to this verse in 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, he didn't use the word confident, but he said, I know. I mean, deep down, I may not know a lot, but this one thing I do know. I know in whom, I've got confidence in whom I believe. I've got confidence, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But then back to our text verse in a hurry. Wherefore, sirs, right in the midst of chaos. He looks at the people on that ship and he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul's life, especially in Acts chapter 27, is amplified in this chapter. Just chaos. I mean, one thing after another. I mean, he went through this storm. He was going through all kind of things. And then even when the ship broke apart and they threw all their belongings overboard and every man wished for the day and it was dark as a thousand midnights and they let her drive and they were tossed to and fro and they went many days and nights and never seen the stars or the sun or the moon and they feared for their lives. And yet, in the middle of chaos, God came to Paul and stood beside Paul and sent an angel of the Lord and stood by Paul that night and assured him and gave him confidence that he could know and be persuaded in his heart that there would be no harm to him, and not only him, but he'd be able to loudly declare, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And so, but it wasn't just in this story, as we read other scripture. Paul's life was a picture of chaos, turmoil, and trouble. You name it, Paul experienced it. I mean, it's amazing all that one man went through and lived to tell about and write about. But herein, let's focus for the rest of the time we have just in this chapter. Talking about chaos. I mean, he faced disruptive chains. Said they delivered Paul and other prisoners. He was on a ship in a storm, in rough waters, and not just any storm, but a terrible, terrible storm. And he was going through all that in chains. I don't know about you, and you may have seen a magician or some of these guys, and they'll get put in one of them straight jackets and then get chains wrapped around their body and then get lowered into a big thing of water. I don't care how good a magician I was. I'm so claustrophobic, I wouldn't dare be, even if I knew how to get out of it, I wouldn't be confined and put in that kind of condition. But he was in disruptive chains, and they delivered Paul and the other prisoners. But not only the disruptive chains, but the disregarded counsel. Verses 9 and 11, Paul admonished them. He admonished them, as I said earlier, and told them there's going to be much harm and much loss. And they said, nevertheless, and they did and went their own way. And so then the destructive commotion, verses 14 through 18, the Euroclodon, that violent agitation, that major, major storm. Then the devastating cost, verses 18 and 19, everyone's personal items, great personal loss. Do you get the picture? It's chaotic. I mean, it's absolutely one thing after another. Nobody could predict what was happening next. Then the demoralizing conditions, verse 20. All hope was then taken away, the Bible said. Chaos. But I'm glad the story don't just end there. And I could go on and continue the chaotic things. I mean, even after the ship come apart, even after lightening the loads, and even after all that they could do as excellent professional shipmen, doing everything they could to salvage and save the boat, then they finally aborted because the boat come apart and they made it to land on boards. And then when they made it to land, you're talking about chaos? Then when they made it to land, that little island that they landed on, they was wet and cold and just come through the storm of their life. Keep in mind, Paul was a prisoner. And then those people they went to gather sticks, you remember, and build a fire to warm up and dry off. And a snake jumped out and bit Paul. I know that chaotic. One of these things, if I got chained and headed for jail, that's chaotic enough for me. You can end the day there, and that would have been a chaotic day. Then you put me on a ship and send me out to sea. I could care less about ever loading a ship again. Y'all can go on as many cruises as you want. I can't stand them. I hate them, and went deep sea fishing one time. My mom and Tommy took us, and it was right near Hurricane Hugo. Whose ever bright idea that was. And it took me, you're going to love it. They had been, and the sea was like glass, and they had the time of their life. And we went at Hurricane Hugo, and it was up and down and up and down. And one of the men, Tommy will tell you, one of the men on the boat said, I'll give the man that running this boat, I'll pay $10,000 if they'll fly a helicopter out here to get me off this thing. He was serious. And finally, even the man running the boat was sick and throwing up. He said, if it'd be all right with y'all, I'll refund you money if we can go back in. That's how bad it was. Needless to say, I ain't been deep sea fishing again. But Paul's a prisoner, and then he gets, they finally make it to land wet, cold, and wore out and been through this terrible, tragic experience, building a fire, a snake, a viper leaps out and bites him. He shook it off, and then it don't stop there. I mean, I ain't got time to preach all that, but I'm saying one thing, it was absolute chaos. Yet Paul, in the midst of all this chaos, Paul had a definite confidence. It never wavered. It stayed steadfast and true. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. How was that possible? How is that possible when the bottom falls out, when the world around you is crumbling? The lost world, your lost family and mine, our lost friends, when our world's falling apart, when we find out our husband or our wife has cancer, or we find out that somebody that we love dearly has died, and we're at the hospital, or we're at the funeral home, or our business closes down. Fill in the blank. Just chaos in life happens. A child runs away and goes crazy. When the world's pulling their hair out and losing their mind, they look to people like me and you who are saved and name the name of Christ, and they should be able to see somebody who has a confidence that's steadfast and true in the Lord, knowing that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. How was Paul able to maintain such a high level of confidence in the midst of chaos? Number one, Paul had confidence in chaos because the sustaining presence of God. If you're going to have confidence and maintain confidence in the Lord in the middle of chaos, it's going to be because of the sustaining presence of God. Verse 23 said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Ain't you glad that the Lord stands by you when the sun's shining? And ain't you glad the Lord stands by you and is He's close by you when the bank account's full and when the health is got a clean bill and when your family's together and when you're living right and when you ain't failed the Lord. Ain't you glad He stands by you? But I'm just as glad, if not even more glad, that when the world falls apart and the bank account's empty and the health goes away and I fail the Lord, the Lord don't fail me nor forsake me. He stands by me and He's faithful and true. And even when I fail to trust in Him, He abideth faithful. He promised that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Listen, the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God didn't just stand by him. God let him know He was standing by him. God didn't abandon him in the storm. God didn't abandon him in the night. God didn't leave him alone during the chaos. God was there. God made His presence known. Paul acknowledged that he belonged to God. He said, "Whose I am." God will never abandon His own. Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." Note, the Bible said the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, appeared many times during times of great trial in the Word of God. Here's a few examples. In Genesis 22:11, when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, an angel of the Lord came. Judges 6:12, and Gideon, when they were under siege from the Midianites, God sent an angel of the Lord. 1 Kings 19:7, and when Elijah went and he was running from Jezebel, God sent an angel of the Lord. Matthew 1:20, when Joseph needed to take baby Jesus out of danger from Herod, God sent an angel of the Lord. Acts 5:19, to deliver the apostles from prison. Acts 12:7, to deliver Peter from prison. That's just a few examples, and don't forget about that fourth man walking in the fire. Listen, God will send an angel. God will send His Son in the form of an angel to you in the midst of your heartache, in the midst of your chaos when you don't know what you're going to do. I mean, you may be at your wit's end. You may have failed the Lord. You may have fallen. God will come to you right where you are, right in the shape you're in, and help you and console you and forgive you and touch you and stand by you and speak to you. I mean, God was there, but God wanted Paul to know He was there. I mean, his presence was there, but he could have just been standing there silent, but he spoke up and let Paul know, I'm here. Ain't you glad when you're on the bottom and everything's crazy and chaotic that God will get nestled up close beside you? You ever been riding down the road and tears coming down your face and you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, and you don't know what you're going to do about that child that's going to have crazy, you're broken hearted over your own self and your own foolishness, and God will slip up in the car with you and just sit by you in his presence, be by you right in the middle of your chaos, and then he will speak to your heart so tenderly and let you know, I'm here. Ain't you glad? You can have confidence. I'll tell you how I know that. Listen, it's one thing when you are right with God, and I mean everything's like you close to God as you can be, and you pray and you expect God to come, and you expect his presence. And that's how we all ought to live. But the truth is, we don't always all live that way. We all fall and fall short, and some of the most precious times in my life has been when I knew I didn't deserve his presence. I knew I was far from him, and I had failed him, and I was even really reluctant and scared to even ask him to come and minister to me and say, oh God, I've failed you so many times. I just ask you to forgive me for this, and here I am again, God, standing in the need of prayer. And Lord, I don't even want to call on you because I'm so ashamed. And then the next thing you know, your car just be filled with his presence, and he speak to you when you know you don't deserve it. Has that ever happened to you? Not when you was on your A game, but I mean when you knowed you wasn't where you're supposed to be, and he still comes to you, and he still gets close to you, and he's still near to you, and not only near to you, but he calls your name, and he grabs you, and he hugs you and caresses you like the prodigal, like the father did the prodigal. That boy smelled like hog slop, and he had been out in the far country and wasted his substance, and he finally said, he come to himself, and he was returning, but he wasn't there yet. He didn't have his life all cleaned up yet. And when the father saw him, the father lit off the porch and ran to him and fell on him and kissed him. And hey, listen, ain't nothing like that to give you confidence. Say, if he'd treat me like that when I was in that condition, surely he'll be with me on my worst day. And if he's with me on my worst day, he'll be with me on my best day. In other words, I'm just simply saying, they ain't a day, worst or best or anywhere in between, that he won't, his presence, his sustaining presence won't be with you. And that ought to give you confidence. Matter of fact, I dare you, look back over your Christian life and find me one day, whether you deserved it or not. And the truth is, we never deserve it. I mean, when we prayed up, read up, and witnessed up, and been faithful to church, and we still don't deserve the God of heaven to come and abide with us. But just look back over and your life and see, has there ever been a day that his presence hasn't been sustaining you? He's there whether you feel him or not, whether you hear him or not. I promise you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am. Paul testified later of God's constant sustaining presence. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Our time is gone, but I'll come back and preach the rest of this when we have time. But Paul had confidence in chaos because of the sustaining presence of God. But Paul had confidence in chaos because of the sovereign plan of God. Tonight we dealt with the sustaining presence of God. How many of you tonight are thankful for the sustaining presence of God? Ain't you glad? I mean, really. I ain't going to preach some more so you can exhale. I know we got children that's got to go to school. But listen, I'm thankful tonight. And maybe y'all ain't been as bad as I've been. And maybe you don't really understand just how much you don't deserve His presence. But just live a little bit longer and you'll feel Him. And it'll humble you when you realize, even at your worst, His presence will sustain you.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen, preacher.
I mean, ain't you glad it ain't up to you to live a certain level?
Yeah.
And if you meet the mark, then maybe He'll come. The truth is, He never left. He don't have to come. He's always been there. You all know the famous painting and seen it multiple times, I'm sure, of sand, footprints in the sand. And I couldn't repeat it if I tried, but the gist of it was simply the two sets of footprints turn into one, and the person wonders, "Lord, why did you leave me when I needed you most?" And that's what the devil and that's what our flesh will want to do is question God. "Lord, I needed you now. If I've ever needed you, I needed you now. Where did you go, Lord? Why did you leave me alone?" And the truth is, He don't leave you. And when you only see one set of footprints, they're His. And He's carrying you. And you may not can see it now, but that you'll get to a place and you'll be able to look back and God will assure you and show you and you will gain confidence in Him and know that at your weakest, He was there. At your strongest, He was there. And when you couldn't even put one foot in front of the other, He was willing to pick you up and carry you until He strengthened you enough to put you back down and walk beside you. What a Savior. What a Savior. That's why Paul was confident. And chaos, then the sovereign plan of God, and then finally we'll look at the steadfast promises of God. I'm glad God has a plan that we can't mess up. Paul was going to get to Rome one way or the other. No storm could stop him. No soldier could stop him. He was headed to Rome. He had a message to preach. He had people to stand before. And then the steadfast promises of God. Paul said, "I believe that it shall be even as it was told me." If the Lord told you, you can take it to the bank. If he assured you in your heart in prayer, or He said it from His Word, you can count on it. His promises are true. You can have confidence in His plan, in His presence, and in His promises. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, You'd take Your word. Thank You, Lord, for never leaving us, never forsaking us, for standing by us, Lord. Thank You for Your sustaining presence. Lord, thank You that we can have confidence in You. You've never called in one day, Lord. You've never been sick one day. Lord, Your line's never been busy. Your very present help in a time of trouble. You stick closer than a brother, Lord. We thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, God, for being such a wonderful, wonderful Lord. I pray, Lord, You take these truths, God, and touch that one that's needing it most, Lord. I thank You, Lord God, for revealing this truth to my heart today, Lord. From Your word, I ask in Jesus' name You'd do the same for every child of God here. Lord, if there's one lost, I ask You, God, You would show them that Your presence can be theirs, Lord, forever. Lord, I pray for that one, God, that's been coming. Oh, God, that needs to be saved. Lord, You're dealing with them. God, they know it, Lord, and they're right at the brink, God, of saying yes to You. I pray in Jesus' name You continue dealing with their heart and save them. God, I pray for all the young children, God, that, Lord, needs Your presence. I pray You'd save them. God, no telling who else. I ask in Jesus' name. stay present and close to them, Lord, until the day you save them. We'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God